Today, answers matter more than ever before. That's why IBM is helping businesses manage customer questions with Watson Assistant. It's conversational AI designed to work for any industry. Let's put smart to work. Visit ibm.com/Watson Assistant.
Crazy old man in his own attic with a hat, episode 73. Wilbon, we're going to start with Drew Brees again. That story is big again. After Drew Brees made his feelings known about the military and the anthem and the flag, he was crucified on social media by his own teammates, by other football players, by athletes in other sports who felt that he totally misread the situation and that he was indifferent to their real issues. They said it has nothing to do with the flag, nothing to do with the military. Drew Brees then apologized, a long and profuse apology. Do you think now this is behind him?
No. No, Tony, I don't. And I don't want this to land all on Drew Brees. I believe the apology. I believe it was as sincere and as heartfelt as he could possibly be, and it reflects that. That's not my point today. And I'm angry today, Tony, because even Drew Brees in his apology, he doesn't address what it was that ticked off so many people, including me, which is essentially the questioning of the patriotism of anybody, and let's say the anybody in this case is black folks, who want to take a knee and have protests during the anthem when the flag is raised at sporting events. Drew Brees, and here's why this the conversation is important. Drew Brees ain't the only one who feels this way. I'm going to say, this is my estimation, 80 to 90% of white Americans feel that taking a knee is disrespectful of the flag and it somehow is at odds with what their forefathers did, as if our forefathers weren't there dying on the same battlefields, which angers black folks, angers me. I don't think Drew Brees gets that at all. And so when he says he didn't get it, I believe him. He didn't get it and he doesn't get it. But he's like, again, 85% of Americans or more, white Americans, they don't connect with what we're talking about. People, 10 people can look at the American flag, all can be patriotic, and all feel differently about the specifics of what that flag represents. Because Drew Brees' granddaddies came back home, perhaps to a local parade. My uncles and dad came back home to say, get on the back of the bus. No, you can't live in this neighborhood. No, you can't try on the clothes in this department store. And they're all veterans. They all sacrificed and served this nation. Drew Brees still doesn't get that. At least the statement doesn't reflect that to me. And 90% of white Americans don't get where we're coming from on this issue. And this conversation is necessary. It needs to keep going. I believe Drew Brees. I believe he's sincere. I believe he's a good person. But I don't believe he gets this point. And Tony, this point, these conversations are going to be confrontational. They're going to be uncomfortable. They're going to pit friends and family members against one another. If we don't go through that process, all of this means nothing.
All right. So I'm not going to speak for all white people. I'm just going to speak for me to this particular issue. And I have always thought, as you know, that you can take a knee whenever you want to take a knee. And you can also say, I'm not taking a knee and I'm bothered by it. What is bothersome to me about this is there's no dialogue whatsoever. There's just shouting. There's just shouting. We're not going to get anywhere if we shout. The only way to make this work is to say, what is it that bothers you about issue X? Let me hear it. My problem with what Drew Brees said, and I was surprised. I guess I wondered, why did he even do this in the times in which we live? Why would you say something that you have to know if you're a pretty smart guy is going to be inflammatory? Why would you do it? What I felt was wrong about it is that it was not empathetic. It was as if he was saying, I get your issue, but just not with the anthem. And that's not getting the issue. I mean, that's not the way it works. And I wondered if it would be permanent damage to Drew Brees. Michael Thomas has come around and said, we're good now. That's very important because Michael Thomas is the number one receiver. Other guys on the Saints have said, we're good now. Because this morning when I didn't know that, I thought Drew Brees would have this trouble. He'd have to go in that locker room and talk to people that he thought were friends, and they might be questioning his character. And I thought that would be difficult. But it seems now that there's a path towards reunification at locker room. But I'll tell you what I wonder about, Mike, and I'm listening carefully to what you said. Will other teams split along this same fault line? If someone, unless someone says, I can't tell you what I really feel because I don't want to antagonize you, are we going to get to the part, you say you need to have uncomfortable conversations. What if somebody says they're going to be too uncomfortable for me and there's a split in all sports along that fault line? Do you see that happening?
Possibly, Tony. Yeah. But, Tony, what's the NFL going to do? The NFL, you know, thinks it has some sort of policy against this. Now, what is the NFL going to back off? Let me get specific. What's Jerry Jones going to do? Jerry Jones has said, you can't play for me and you cannot exist under my employment if you do this. Really? Really? Because I'm betting some Dallas Cowboy players are going to have the stones to say to Jerry, no, no, no.
Yeah.
It's a different day and a different time, and you are going to listen to this, or we go. Tony, shouting is sometimes necessary. Because you know what? Peaceful, calm conversation, it hadn't worked. And so this goes back to people.
Well, let me address what you're saying. Let me address exactly what you're saying. I don't understand. Again, the NFL and all sports, but the NFL in particular, wraps itself very tightly in the flag. You don't have to have this national anthem. That's an invention. Sports didn't start with the national anthem. You don't have to have it. You can play something else. So you know what you can do? You can play football, because that's why you're there. I think these conversations will take place in a variety of locker rooms. I'm sort of happy that Drew Brees may not be totally damaged, because as we both agree, he's done wonderful things in the city of New Orleans.
Yes,
this was a bad misread, and he didn't know it was a misread. And if he didn't know it was a misread, there's a lot of guys out there who don't know it's a misread, and they mean well, but they don't get it.
But that's the phrase. And I'm saying to you today, I don't think Drew Brees gets this, even though, I don't want this to all fall on Drew Brees. Drew Brees is just saying what, to me, 85%, 90%. Tony, I'm glad you're in that other percentage, and I know the old radical that you are. You have always believed, yes, Colin Kaepernick and anybody else could take a knee. I know that's part of consistently of who you've been.
Sure.
I've known you for 40 years. But, Tony, don't act like you're the rule.
That doesn't mean,
don't act
that doesn't
like
mean
you
I like
the main.
It. It doesn't mean, because I, right, I stand as you stand. We stand, the anthem plays, we stand.
Yeah.
But I recognize the right, you know, and also I recognize Drew Brees' right to say, I'm going to stand, I don't like it. But that's where the dialogue has to start.
Yes.
Has to start.
It does.
So.
And Tony, as we've seen, as I said, it ain't going to be comfortable. Nor does it need to be. All right. By the way, that hat, I called you an old radical. What? You look like Burt Sugar. Burt Sugar from Washington, D.C.
Yeah, who lived under the apron at Madison Square Garden for all the big fights on Friday nights. I went to the dermatologist. I had something taken off my head. I got a Band-Aid, so I thought I'd wear this hat and put the picture, you know, the picture that goes with the hat. I feel I look like an old Wright Thompson. I feel pretty good about that. I wish I could write that well. So
you need that. You need an unlit Cuban cigar just to continue the theme. Tony, this next story, you can't call this sports, hardcore sports either, but it's an important story. Florida State football coach Mike Norvell told The Athletic he had a back and forth individually with each of his players regarding the events surrounding George Floyd's death. Florida State star defensive lineman Marvin Wilson took issue with that characterization, tweeting, quote, "We got a generated text that was sent to everybody. There was no one-on-one talk between us and coach. This is a lie. And me and my teammates as a whole are outraged that we will not be working out until further notice. There was reportedly a team meeting this morning." Norvell has a close quote after notice. "There was reportedly a team meeting this morning," Tone. Norvell has apologized, praising Wilson for his using his platform. Wilson thanked Norvell and said, quote, "We got what we wanted and we are moving forward," close quote. Tony, what does all this mean and how is it playing out?
So when I first heard about this story, the sort of notion was, does Norvell have a big problem? And my reaction was, the only big problem he's got is where he's going to coach next month, Because this Florida State, they bought out Willie Taggart after 2 years. They could buy this guy out by 7 o'clock tonight. This ain't Harvard. This is Florida State, and football really matters. And if you're a new coach and you walk in there and you haven't recruited these players, you need the trust of your players. You have no standing in Tallahassee. And if your best player tweets out, and I'm quoting you, quoting him, this is a lie, you are in terrible trouble. But as we saw with Drew Brees, there seems to be a reconciliation among the key players here and Florida State. The Florida State is going to move forward and everything is happy with the coach. But I'll tell you this, Mike. Like, if the players run the deal, I mean, if the coach backs down to the players at this point, and I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but I am saying that he's walking on eggshells until this class of players leaves and he recruits his own guys. I hope this works out. I'm not as optimistic as maybe you are.
No, I don't know that I'm optimistic either. Tony, at 7 p.m. Eastern time yesterday, Drew Brees had maybe a little problem. By 9 p.m., Drew Brees had the problem of his life, okay, professionally. He had an enormous problem. And these things unfold in ways we can't always anticipate. You know, it looks like right now that this is a sort of smoothed over, but we don't know what every kid thinks. Every player on that team has a phone and access to Twitter or Instagram or whatever's TikTok, whatever social media medium he wants to tap into. And so suppose somebody says, wait a minute, this platform isn't big enough. We don't know where the conversation is going, where the feelings are going. There are hard feelings surrounding all of this. And I just wonder, was it a lie? And if it was a lie, how does just saying you have a platform now make it right? I mean, a lot of questions here, don't you think?
That's how I feel, Mike. I feel that this guy goes out of his way, Norville, the coach, to tell people what a great communicator he is with his players. And then you find out he sent a text, not necessarily to all the players. He didn't talk to anybody. He sent out a text, and his best player says this is a lie. Now, his best player is okay with this today, but again, going forward, a first-year coach, this coach has to understand he's dealing with young people who are watching their world go in directions they didn't anticipate. And maybe they're nervous about their futures. And they look to a coach to be a calming influence. And if they think he's a liar, what is the long-term future on that?
I would say it's no long-term future. Another stay tuned.
Yeah. All right, Wilbon, let's move to the Washington Wizards, who you so emphatically said on this show yesterday would be included in the playoff. They are included in the playoffs because there's 22 teams in the restart. And John Wall, their former number one overall pick, pronounced himself 110% healthy. He had been practicing with the team. So here is the question. They're going to play, I guess, at least eight games. Are they better off playing John Wall, or are the Wizards better off sitting John Wall?
Play him. Put John Wall out there. Find out. Let him find out what he can do. Are they going to sort of be disheveled? Sure. But all the teams are. Even the teams are coming back with their exact same personnel. And this is not necessarily like Kevin Durant, and his representative has sounded if he's definitely not going to play. I understand that. But John Wall says, I'm 110%. Bradley Beal's been an all-star. Bradley Beal's a player that other folks want to trade from or sign when he eventually becomes a free agent again. But John Wall has been the face of the franchise, Tony, as you know. And John Wall, they've had playoff success with John Wall. I'd say put him out there if he wants to play.
Yeah, if I ran the team, I'd play him. It's only eight games. I'd want to see how he is. Is he good enough that I can trade him and get rid of his $43 million salary? Is he good enough that I can trade Bradley Beal because I like John Wall? Are they both good enough together that I'm going to keep him because I think I can win something? I don't think he's going to play. I don't think the Wizards are going to risk him. I don't think he wants to risk it. I don't know that Bradley Beal wants to play with him in this context. The larger point to me is very simple. What are they doing in the playoffs? They're 24-40. They're 24-40. All right?
Yeah, but
I'm done
with
this.
I thought that if the season played out as it has every other season in the history of the league, I thought the Wizards were going to catch that eight spot. Who was in that? Orlando. I thought they were going to make that spot, Tony. I thought the Wizards were coming on, and even if John Wall didn't play, and we weren't expecting him to play in April at all.
Though we're apart these days, we're sharing more. So at GEICO, we'd like to say thanks. Thanks for sharing your savage dance moves. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails. Thanks for sharing your inner lip sync star. Now it's our turn to share with the GEICO Give Back, a 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers. Because we're committed for the long haul, the 15% credit lasts your full policy term. Visit geico.com/giveback for more info and eligibility.
It could be a routine drive to pick up the kids after school or an epic road trip across the country. No matter where your travels take you, we know those miles count. We're Marathon. We have over 5,700 stations across our great nation. Our people are working hard every day to provide you with quality top-tier gasoline to improve engine performance and fuel your life. Marathon, fueling the American spirit.
Glasses, legal pad, new prop, hat. Let's do the happies. Happy 23rd birthday, Hollywood Brown. His first name is Marquise, but isn't Hollywood so much better for a wide receiver? Brown, who is from Hollywood, Florida, was the number 25 pick in the 2019 draft out of Oklahoma. As a rookie with the Ravens, he had 46 catches for 584 yards and 7 touchdowns. Solid numbers. And he said an old college injury held him back. What makes Brown intriguing is, one, his cousin is Antonio Brown. A team killer, yes, but a surpassing talent. And two, Hollywood Brown may become Lamar Jackson's most important receiver. Jackson was the MVP last year in just his second season. If he is to take the Ravens to the Super Bowl, he needs to develop a better connection with his wide receivers so he doesn't have to run so much. Can Hollywood Brown present himself as a consistent deep threat? And can he bring his cousin along, you know, for a play date? It may be no coincidence that Lamar Jackson has been seen training with them, Mike.
No play date. No play date. Leave your cousin at home. It's every day is leave your cousin at home day if we're talking about that particular cousin. Any other cousins, feel free to bring them. Not that one. And by the way, if those two develop the rapport as you suggest that they could and need to, wow. I mean, going into a second year, I mean, that, and I know it's hard with not a real off season, but at some point, you hope they could develop that rapport.
Happy anniversary, the Ali Summit. On this day, 53 years ago, a group of prominent black athletes gathered in Cleveland to support Muhammad Ali in his quest to be classified as a conscientious objector to the Vietnam War on religious grounds. These men interviewed Ali and questioned him on the sincerity of his beliefs before endorsing him. Many of the athletes involved had served in the military. Some of the people in the back row of this photo are giants, like Bobby Mitchell, Willie Davis, Curtis McClinton. But look at the front row. There is Bill Russell, Muhammad Ali, Jim Brown, who organized the meeting, and a young college sophomore named Lou Alcindor at that time. That's Mount Rushmore right there. Ali and these other accomplished men were looking for justice in a time of political, social, and cultural upheaval, a time of demonstrations. Does that sound familiar? A little over a month after this meeting, Ali refused induction into the Army. He was convicted of draft evasion, sentenced to 5 years in prison, which he did not serve because of his right to appeal, and stripped of the heavyweight title and banned from boxing for 3 years. In 1971, the United States Supreme Court overturned that conviction, and in 1974, Ali regained the heavyweight title.
Hear, hear all of that, Tony. Let me just say very briefly that as we sit here now in the context of what is going on today and talk about athletes demanding change and their impact and their position as influencers in the culture, Muhammad Ali, more than any single American, turned the conversation about the Vietnam War. I'm pretty sure you would agree with that. Ali did. And it's amazing when you look back at how that conversation started and where it wound up and how Cassius Clay then, becoming Muhammad Ali, was perceived, the impact he had on this nation and its feeling about the war in Vietnam.
All true. Happy trails, Chris Archer, the Pirates starter who came over from Tampa Bay at the trade deadline in 2018 had thoracic outlet surgery for shoulder pain and will be out for this season, if there is a this season. The timeline for rehabilitation in these cases is 6 to 8 months. The 31-year-old Archer had a 54-68 record and a 3.69 ERA for Tampa in the murderous AL East and made the All-Star team in 2015 and 2017. But since coming to the Pirates, he has slipped. He was 3-3 down the stretch in 2018, but in 2019, he was 3-9. His ERA was 5.19. Archer was somewhat of a media darling at Tampa Bay, getting a lot of run as a yakker on national TV. Maybe if they start this season and they mic up the players in the dugout and on the field, as people have suggested, Archer can conduct the interviews.
Let's just hope that Archer can return to the form that we saw evidence of, Tony, in Tampa, which he didn't, as you mentioned, in Pittsburgh. And hopefully the medical attention and the time off will help serve in that capacity.